always know I'm doing the right thing. Because you have a steadiness about you. And I believe in you. But it comes so, and you must be smarter than your enemy. What are you trying to say?
The Americans, they're very smart, but sometimes they can be incredibly stupid. They spend all this money and time and energy on the so-called war on terror. They put satellites up in space. They can ram a smart bomb up a camel's ass from a situation over 5,000 miles away. But every time the U.S. kills an Al-Qaeda leader, what happens is a new one before the body's cold. You do it a million times. You never get it because the real solution always lose them. What is it? Do nothing. Nothing. If you want to shut down a fundamentally flawed system, all you gotta do is step out of its way and it'll shut itself down. Nature has a way of correcting itself.
These truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
White Aryan Resistance calling, White Aryan Resistance calling. This is Terrible Tommy here in the bunker in North Central Indiana on a very cool day and a very damp day. And best to stay inside today, man. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581 for a while. And that's where you send your dues for the radio show, donations for the radio show, and we'll put them to good work, which we do all the time. Well, you heard it, immutable truth. In other words, can't be argued against. It's absolute truth that all men are created equal. And that's when the screw-up began. And the Declaration of Independence. It started right there, you know. We all were raised on it, believed it, talked about it, and so forth. But it's a sham. It is a sham. Because it's not true, and they haven't proven it's true, and all men are not equal. And you're endowed with inalienable rights. Do you know what that means? That's something that can't be taken away. Well, if you don't know by now, I'm going to clue you in. Anything you have can be taken away by someone who has more power. No argument at all. So you have no right. You have the possible ability to enforce your feelings and what you think, but there is no inalienable right. They had the kings would hand out certain privileges if, as long as you were good boys and girls. Beyond that, it was supposed to come from the spooks in the sky, which I can pretty much guarantee that's not true. So when you build a system based upon that kind of stuff, it may last for a while. This thing has lasted, a couple of hundred years? But it won't last much longer than that because the whole precept is incorrect. Incorrect. Prove me wrong. Remember what Pilate said to the alleged Jesus? What is truth? And that was a great question. What is truth? It's hard to discern because there's so little truth in the world. It's mostly bullshit and lies. Take, for instance, what's going on in Washington, La Cesspool Grande, as Bob Biles used to call it. Today, they got these people up there getting grilled, getting a third degree about how they're going to handle their departments that President Trump has allocated to them to handle. And they're going to swear up and down, oh yeah, I want to do it, man. I want to take care of the people because I love the people. You believe that? I got a bridge in Brooklyn for you. Yeah, you think I'm negative. Well, I have to be. If the truth is negative, then you got to be negative. And that's the way it goes. Now you're free to keep on going in this la-la land and believing all the fairy tales and even participating in Christmas and things like that. Or the Easter Bunny and stuff like that. Then otherwise, a lot of people just go to drinking booze or taking drugs or going to church every day. But you got to... They all need a narcotic to keep going. And that's what they get. You gotta get beyond that. You gotta be a lone wolf. A free thinker. Not fooled and not bullshitted by all these people around you. Now that means one thing. You're not gonna have a whole lot of friends. You're not even gonna have a whole lot of associates. Because most people would rather believe the bullshit than look themselves in the eye and say, this, know what's going on. Too bad. Well, let's get on to the news. Boy, the progressives are all wrapped up in worrying about sex. It's amazing. I would say that among the progressives, they're probably the most perverted bunch of people on earth. Not that there aren't perverts in the Republican Party. But now they're crying again, pointing their finger at Trump and all Trump's friends and everything. When we know that Obomsky was dealing drugs in Chicago and allegedly being bisexual and all this stuff. But for the progressives to throw stones at the Republicans is funny. Now here they got a story here on one of their black websites. President-elect, grab him by the pussy, can't stop attracting perverts. On Friday, the man most likably rating is on a par with lice, will hold his inauguration celebration. Boy, I'll tell you. Those niggers don't like Trump. An event no one wanted to perform for because the man is vile. Donald Trump's team was able to secure the Tallahatchie College marching band, which has juiced that invite into a surplus of riches. Now it's come to light that the director of the small Alabama's HBCU's marching band was convicted of a 2006 sex assault of a male student. In September 2006, Bonds, then 31, and 20-year-old male student were talking after a football game. The victim mentioned that he was planning to pledge a fraternity and following year, and Bonds offered to teach him what he needs to know about pledging. Police told a news station that the student followed Bonds into his apartment where the now band director turned on a movie and offered the underage young man the alcoholic beverage Hypnotic. Bonds told the young man to come in his bedroom where Bonds began cleaning. Police told a news station that the student began feeling intoxicated within minutes of drinking the alcoholic beverage. The student told authorities that his balance became unsteady, so he sat on Bonds' bed. According to police, Bonds convinced the student to lie down and put on a pornographic movie. The student began fading in and out of consciousness and told police that he awoke lying naked on the floor with a blanket and a pillow. the news station reports. He told police that Bonds called him shortly afterward and asked if he remembered anything. He told Bonds no and hung up and reported the incident to police. Bonds was accused of performing oral sex upon the and touching the student, and charged with a second degree rape, two counts of third degree unlawful sexual contact, and providing alcohol to an underage person. Bonds pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of sexual harassment and offensive touching. He served 1 year of probation and was told not to have contact with the victim. Bonds has avoided the spotlight since the president-elect's invitation to Talladega's marching band. He did do one exclusive interview with CBS 42 when news broke that the school possible participation in the inauguration festivities. Well, there you go. That's the end of the story. There's another dirty, rotten old pervert and tying him to Trump just because Trump invited the band. It's unbelievable. That's one of the lead stories on the black page. They're really digging up interesting news. Well, I see the she thing, Chelsea Manning, has been commutated her sentence, the Obomsky. Well, that figures for a bisexual. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't quarrel with Chelsea at all for releasing the material to WikiLeaks. No. And when they say she endangered people in Afghanistan, who endangered people in Afghanistan? The United States government endangered a hell of a lot of people by bombing the hell out of and going into Afghanistan and tearing up the place, sending American troops in there to get killed for that godforsaken place. So who is bad here? Chelsea Manning is probably did a great favor to the average person by releasing this stuff. And as far as the people over there that the warmongers send in Afghanistan, I can't, what am I going to say? Whatever you go for, you permit, whatever you permit, you deserve. And to volunteer to go over there to bomb a bunch of ragheads and burn down their villages and plant dope all over the country, help them harvest it. I have no use for the people. And these people point a finger at Chelsea Manning, whether she's a he or a her, that's ridiculous. So I know the right wing is going to go crazy about this. Oh my God, she endangered the lives of the CIA men over there and all these people. Well, if everybody did that every day and released information, I think pretty soon there wouldn't be much warfare going on all over the country. If everybody knew what they were planning and doing, I think that's good. I think everybody out there should be hacking and releasing information. Yeah, my information I've got wouldn't hurt me. I mean, any more than what people say anyhow. So I'm not worried about hackers. I love hackers. I think they're doing a great service, many of them, not all of them. And as far as Obomsky releasing a whole lot of prisoners, and I'm sure they're not all black, I'm all for that too, because most of them are on minor criminal records of pushing or using drugs. And I think that's a good thing. Let them out. Let them have another chance. But if they screw up again, slap it to them, baby. But the problem is, like you know and I know, this two-party system, when one does something that the other can criticize, they're going to criticize all fucking day long. And when the other party does the same thing, it's the same thing. It's such a charade such a crappy thing. I'm for getting rid of parties, especially getting rid of the Republican and Democrat parties. And I really spent a lot of time trying to move that along. When I ran for Congress in 80, I think I hurt the Democrat Party quite a bit for a while. And now I put out all kinds of stuff exposing the Republican Party. So I think the more we can do to destroy these two parties, the better off our future's going to be. Let's take a look at some of Ronald McDonald's preachers that are going to be up there with him on the big stage coming up Friday. Let's listen to this.
You can't really understand your Christianity without going back to Judaism. White, who did not respond to interview requests, explained in a promotional video for her website. Old Testament stuff is really important to us as New Testament believers. White. White, a Florida televangelist and personal minister to Trump, will pray. Donald Trump has enlisted a diverse lineup of six clergy to pray him into office. Donald Trump has enlisted a diverse lineup of six clergy to pray him into office at his upcoming inauguration ceremony. Three draw on Jewish ritual objects and ideas in their practices, like Torah and prayer shawls, but only one clergy member is a Jewish rabbi. The other two, praying alongside Rabbi Marvin Heer, are known for their prosperity gospel, teaching that financial blessing and physical well-being are the will of God. They also affirm the Hebrew roots of the New Testament. One cleric, Wayne T. Jackson, keeps a private Torah in his home, and most of the congregants at his church wear prayer shawls. Another, Paula White, fasts on Yom Kippur and has such a proclivity for Jewish rituals that she once participated in a ceremony where two helpers unfurled a Torah and wrapped her inside. Jesus was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. All of the apostles had Jewish backgrounds, Jackson said in a phone interview with The Forward. And when we look at all of this, we see our foundation. You can't really understand your Christianity without going back to Judaism. White, who did not respond to interview requests, explained in a promotional video for her website. Old Testament stuff is really important to us as New Testament believers. White, a Florida televangelist and personal minister to Trump, will pray alongside Jackson, a Detroit preacher and founder of an African-American Christian TV network, on Friday. Jackson heads Great Faith Ministries International, and White is the senior pastor at New Destiny Christian Center. Trump's bond with these two figures is deeper than this one scheduled prayer. Trump counts White as a close spiritual advisor and visited Jackson's Detroit congregation for a September service, during which Jackson dramatically draped then-candidate Trump in an Israeli prayer shawl. Trump's inclusion of these two preachers signals the growing, sometimes controversial, interest in Hebraic roots in Christian circles.
Well, what do you think of that, boys and girls? Trump's not only getting 90% of the Orthodox Jew vote up there in certain areas of New York City, but he's employed these Christian preachers, wannabe Jews, and maybe some of them are, to help pray him into the White House, and later maybe pray him into heaven. The right wing screwed again, man. Well, I see it turns out that a bunch of celebrity babies in Hollywood may have been sucking on mold, a baby teether toy in the shape of a giraffe popular with big shot Hollywood stars is having a viral moment after parents are cutting it open to find mold. No wonder they act so crazy up there in Hollywood. Or is it Hollyweird? Well, are those people with wooden shoes a little bit racist? As the Netherlands gears up for the general elections, now 2 months away, a new political party aims to fight back against the rising tide of Geert Wilders populism. White populism, yeah. Despite receiving a barrage of hate mail and threats, TV presenter turned politician Silvana Simons will enter the poll on March the 15th as the leader of the Arctic Party, Arctic One. Guess what? She's a mulatto in a country that prides itself on supposed inclusiveness. Simons has raised the ire of many white people by focusing her program on eradicating institutional racism. Utilizing her TV fame, like, guess what? Simons became one of the most prominent faces of the counter movement to blunt a xenophobic surge in the Netherlands. Quote, you can't be black, female, politically involved, and try to shape the society you live in without pissing some people off, she said. But her new career as a politician came at a price, as she was put under police protection after threatening messages and memes started appearing online. In one attack, her face was superimposed on the image of a lynched slave and widely circulated on the internet. In another, she was the butt of the popular racist song that called on her to pack her bags and leave the Netherlands and take her phony wood shoes with her. the Dutch government has addressed some grievances seen as a discriminatory by Dutch citizens of foreign origins. Oh my God, that's horrible. We can't have that. Last year, it banned the word Allochtone, used to describe immigrants. Banned it. It's interesting how governments can ban a word. Loch Nagger. Additionally, elements of the children's Christmas festival, featuring a character known as Black Pete, have been altered to prevent causing offense to the Black Dutch community. But Article 1 says this does not go far enough, man. A total of 25 parties will be competing in the Dutch parliamentary elections. Wilders Freedom Party is leading in the polls by a large margin, but none of the parties are expected to secure an outright majority. Al Jazeera spoke to Simons as she campaigned for a seat to raise the concerns of the most marginalized groups in Dutch society. Well, there shouldn't be any marginalized groups because they shouldn't be there. It should be all white. When I was in Holland, Netherlands, it was almost 100% white back in the 50s. Before those Glamoukkans came in. What made you decide to enter politics after a television career that the Jews helped you with? There was a moment in the popular Dutch show when a guest made a racist remark and I called him out over it. Viewers started sending in comments such as, "Go back to your country." It made me realize racism is accepted in the Netherlands and it's okay to be a racist. It's always okay to be a racist. I realize that people haven't been taught about their colonial history and how certain groups of people have come to live in the Netherlands. Well, they shouldn't have had colonies. I agree with that. Because it always turns out to feed race mixing. Miscegenation. But I was encouraged that many people also wrote me saying that I had made it easier for them to speak out against racism. So the next logical step was to enter politics and become the president like Obama. There you go. That's what's going on in Der Netherlands. What can you do to contribute to building a more diverse, race-mixed, hodgepodge Netherlands? We want to represent all Dutch society, and our list of candidates alone shows that we're truly reflecting the Netherlands. Race mixed. We have equal numbers of men and women. Well, that's okay. We have gay, we have lesbian, we have transgender candidates. We are normalizing what is already normal in society. We are new and unconventional voice in society. We are emancipating people and politics. It's going to be wonderful. All we have to do is race mix enough people, and everything's going to be fine. Well, looky here. Dead white men are revered by many as responsible for the advancement of civilization, says sociology professor Keenhind Andrews. I think he's black. But he argues this so-called progress came at the expense of millions of people of color. Global inequality is not an accident, he argues. No, it's biological, son. It is designed to keep the hierarchy of the white race intact. Unfortunately, the way it's working out is it's only keeping a small percentage of the white race intact. At the top, the ruling class. Well, we have to change that. And I think that Operation Chaos is going to help that, because the next few years is going to be a real roller coaster. Oh, really, really, really big roller coaster. And anything may happen at any moment. That's why I got my popcorn and everything ready for Friday, because maybe something will happen. You know how I used to go to the jalopy races at the fairground out here in Warsaw. Sit up there in the bleachers and pray for a wreck. everybody went to see a wreck, and they'd be lying if they didn't, if they said, well, we went there just to see the cars go round and round. That's bullshit. They go there to see the wreck. Well, down in Lake City, South Carolina, Paula Morris, coordinator of the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration in Lake City, South Carolina, made a plea to all who attended Monday's event. Quote, I have a plea that we at Lake City, that we will begin here, that our hearts will change. Well, I don't want my heart to change. My heart's fine the way it is, hopefully. And that we will love one another. Well, that's how the niggers love that. Especially the nigger males. They're always wanting to, they're all wanting to love the white boy, white girls, and white boys. Morris started the annual MLK Day event in late 1990s. She said, God led her to bring people of all races together, which is a goddamn lie because spooks in the sky don't exist. She says, that lying bitch said, God led her to bring people of all races together. Everybody that's got a crazy ass idea says, God showed them the way. God promoted this. God this, God that. Her goal this year's event was to encourage love. Well, the term love is abstract. You can't describe anything close to love with a four-letter word. It's impossible. And so, love is what you do. As far as your girlfriend or your wife, it's what you do all year long for her. Not platitudes like, I love you all the time, every time you turn around. I love you, I love you. I hear these people all get off, they're on a payphone. It's not a payphone, that's dating me. But they always say, I love you, I love you. What do you mean you love me? Anyhow, I could argue those kinds of terms, love and hate, all day long. Well, happy day in Deutschland. Germany's top court Tuesday rejected a bid to ban the extreme-right Hollywood National Democratic Party, arguing that while the party resembles Adolf Hitler's party, anyhow, while it resembles some of the stuff from Adolf Hitler, it's no serious threat. Well, I guarantee, of course it's no serious threat. The right-wing so-called Nazis are no serious threat to anybody, except sometimes themselves. Sorry, boys, the Hollywood Nazis are going nowhere, so if you're going to do it the National Socialist way, you better do it a little differently. How about working your way into the Democrat Party? They're looking for people. Get inside there and do your deed. Don't go into the Republican Party. That's a waste of time. I mean, you know, go into the Democrat Party and rub elbows with all those niggers. And I think you could have a lot of fun in there and raise hell. And maybe someday retake over the Democrat Party. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. Anyhow, the ruling comes after Germany's parliament's upper house had filed a plea to ban the party in 2013, arguing that the NPD, the party's acronym in German, espouses neo-Nazi views. What is neo-Nazi? It's a construct of the media. That's all it is. It's views in violation of Germany's constitution. Well, constitutions come and go. And if you don't like the one you're living under, tear it down and build another one. That's nature. The NPD itself argued that a ban would be incompatible with democracy. Wait a minute. Let me see, read that again. This party, the so-called neo-Nazi party, which, anyhow, the NPD itself argued that a ban would be incompatible with democracy. now the Nazis love democracy? Is that it? I don't know. Strange things are happening. Germany's constitutional court said that the NPD is itself an anti-democratic party. Well, I guess they can use the democratic situation to argue for their free speech. I don't know. The NPD intends to replace the existing constitutional system with an authoritarian national state that adheres to the idea of an ethnically defined people's community, said Andreas Voskuhl, president of the Constitutional Court. Its political concept disrespects human dignity and is incompatible with the principles of democracy. Spoken like a true Jewish politician. But the court's 8 judges unanimously ruled that the legal requirements for banning the party weren't met because the party had no means to achieve its anti-constitutional goals. Oh, yeah? Well, if they changed their ways, they would. They should be act more like the Red Army faction. Even though they didn't win either. Mr. Voskuhl said that there was a lack of specific and weighty indications suggesting that this endeavor will be successful. Support for the NPD has been on the decline after a surge of popularity in the 1990s. The party today has less than 6,000 members, lost its last representation in the regional parliament last year in the state of Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania, and never garnered enough support to win a seat in the federal parliament. When are you going to learn you're not going to take Germany back by democratic methods? But you're not going to take it back by the right-wing nonsense and silly stuff, marching in the street and so forth. You have to be deceptive and clever and learn how to operate undercover and behind the scenes and be clever. Yeah, might is right. You'll never get power anyplace by playing the old democratic game. It's all fixed. Just like Hitler had it fixed for his party. Well, I see wolves are popular and back in style in France. Guess what? Wolves are roaming the streets of certain areas of France. Unfortunately, not all lone wolves like us, but real wolves. Maybe they'll do some cleaning up for us, like Wolfen, the movie. If you haven't seen it, get it. Wolfen. The wolves and Wolfen teamed up, come out of the underground, and started eating Negroes. Or any other, you know, Untermenschen, the lower parts of society. They ate them up, cleaned them up, got them out of the way. That's why we need more wolves roaming the streets of L.A. When the wolves start coming close to the cities, that's a sign, boys and girls. Mother Nature is sending you a sign. Because they can see that there is so much rot and corruption. Just like during war, there's going to be a lot of people eaten up. Wolves are starting to make their home in a region in Paris, according to 2 wolf-watching groups. The research groups, which include geographers and biologists, believe the animals are roaming across Yvelines, Essonne, and Seine-et-Marne. Yeah. Got a nice picture of them. The groups believe the animals are in, Alliance, Avec Les Loups, and Abazur Dupe Loup have collected evidence, which includes reports of a characteristic wolf howling, sightings of paw prints, and the discovery of wolf droppings, and evidence of mutilated Negro bodies. Manuel Altman, president of the Alliance, told the local, "We are certain that there are 3 in circulation since April last year, one couple and another wolf." The 2 groups also found the carcasses of 2 deer in the Rambouillet Forest. just outside Paris. When the wolves are on the march, things are going to change, boys and girls. They smell the decay and rot and are coming closer. Well, the Hollywood Klan's at it again. A KKK group left pamphlets on many Centerville driveways as the nation celebrated MLK Day. Did you celebrate it? I sure as hell didn't celebrate it. This was in Centerville, Georgia, but the Klan's doing this quite a bit around the country, putting out pamphlets. I can advise you, boys, I've put out thousands and thousands of pamphlets in the past, and even when I was the leader of the Klan, it did about as much good as I'd gone down here and pissed in the creek. The sacred knights of the Ku Klux Klan left the pamphlets for the residents of Bassett Street, 11 Drive and Davis Drive. The pamphlet said, "Wake up, America!" Well, they're not waking up. They may not even wake up when their ass is against the wall. And accused Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and other Negro Americans and Jews of supporting socialism. Wait a minute. There's a lot of good things about socialism, especially national socialism. The real stuff, not the Hollywood version. They also stated that their group was part of a massive recruiting drive. I can see thousands being drafted into the Klan. I bet I can see a line of people wanting to be recruited into the Klan a mile long, man. Pretty soon they'll be marching down Pennsylvania Avenue again because they're doing a massive recruiting drive instead of doing what the original Klan did. They accomplished something. After last year's news-dominating surge in homicides in Chicago, everyone in Chicago is looking for answers. A new study of last year's spike in gun violence published on Tuesday by the University of Chicago's Crime Lab is more descriptive than prescriptive. Oh, that's cute. But the prevalence and increased deadliness of firearms in Chicago is a danger to the black race. No shit. Homicides in Chicago involving guns at rates higher than many other cities. Those guns are terrible. Those guns are hateful. Those guns go off and kill people. Guns being used are more lethal than in the past, and non-gun crimes aren't rising at the same way gun crimes are. Let's change that to nigger crimes, the study determined, because most of this crime and murder is a Negro with a gun. Just don't allow Negroes to have guns, period. Last year, almost all homicides in Chicago involved guns, 90%, up 2 percentage points from the year before. But other large cities saw a lower rate of firearms in their homicide. Well, I guess their niggers are more peaceful. But it's still too high, right? Only 58% of homicides in New York City were committed with a gun. Wait a minute. Only 58% of homicides in New York City were committed with a gun? Oh, that's wonderful. Those are great figures, man. Only 58%. With 72% in Los Angeles. Oh, well. They're on their way to total peace. Another instructive conclusion was the determination that gun crimes increased at a much faster rate than non-gun crimes. Oh. Well, a Negro is not going to use a butcher knife if he's got a gun. Simple as that. But if he don't have a gun, I'm going to invest in butcher knives. So the surge in violence last year may have more to do with the sheer prevalence of guns. No, it's the prevalence of niggers rather than gang conflict. Oh, yeah, right. Researchers, you know the researchers are not going to tell the total truth. or they be fired and lose their job. The result may suggest the increase in 2016 was not driven exclusively by nigger feuds and altercations. Oh, no. Since robberies typically also have a financial motivation. What has that got to do with it? This suggests that what happened in Chicago in 2016 was less about overall increase in prevalence of antisocial or criminal behavior, but more about the focused increase in gun violence. That is weird. You understand that? That don't make sense. You don't, my stepfather used to say, you ain't making brain sense there, boy. They'll go way, way, way out of their way to blame everything on guns. Well, seize all the guns, and then they'll go way out of their way to deny the butcher knife killings. Because you think switchblades and regular butcher knives won't be used massively if the black boys don't have guns? What do you think they use down in the jungle of the tropics in the Congo? Now, of course, now they have guns because we give them guns. Yeah, we one way or another, we sell them the guns or give them the guns. Chicago also had a high per capita rate of gun recovery rate by police. Oh, that's great. And the guns that are being discovered tend to be high caliber than firearms used in the recent past. The nigger boys are buying big guns now, men. They want to take out five or six. They don't want to piss around with one. Researchers stress that the recovery rate doesn't always accurately reflect the total number of illegal guns in a city. And the rate of gun recovery in Chicago was roughly the same as last year. But the murder rate's way up again. This could mean that more illegal guns are on the streets in Chicago, or it could mean the likelihood that a given illegal gun is confiscated by the police is higher in Chicago. Researchers wrote, but the fact that large ammunition, larger magazine guns are on the rise, even above last year, dovetails with the violent crime increase. Boy, it's those gun magazines. Yeah. It's not the black people's fault. Well, I see that ape-looking Michael Jordan that made all his money because he's smart enough to dribble a basketball. Got divorced, I believe, from one white woman. Now he's married to a new white woman. She's just as cute as she can be. She's a cute white woman that's going to spread her legs through that big ape. Happy days. She'll suffer for it in the end. You wait and see. In the end. I didn't mean it that way. Well, congratulations, Michael Jordan. Nobody's got enough balls to put up. Well, I'm not going to say any more. Well, the most important statement in the Justice Department's damning report of the Chicago Police Department has nothing to do with police behavior. Released on Friday, the report found that the Chicago police is guilty of a pattern or practice of unconstitutional force. They're just too goddamn mean to those niggers. Black KKK. They got to treat them better. But it turns out that the Justice Department has no standard for what constitutes a pattern or practice. The phrase comes from a 1994 federal statute of unconstitutional police conduct. How dare you control crime, or try to control crime? Statistical evidence is not required for a pattern of practice finding. The DOJ lawyers, there's a bunch of Jew boys getting paid well, announced citing unrelated court precedent. Nor is there a specific number of incidents required to constitute a pattern or practice they proclaim. I'm not going to read any more of that bullshit because that's all you get, and it's not going to get any better because they won't confront the real problem. And they're not going to until there's a civil war, probably. The FBI reported that the total number of homicides in 2015 was 15,696. Blacks were about 52% of the homicide victims. Black KKK is doing okay. That means that 8,100 black lives ended violently. And over 90% of the time, the perpetrator was another black. Oh, no, it's a cop. You know that. Well, let's see what's going on down in the Filipinos. Up to 2.5 million Filipinos, including gangsters and criminals, gathered for the annual Catholic procession of redemption against the backdrop of President Duterte's brutal war on drugs. They don't like that. The first time Jeric Narciso held up a jeepney, it was because his cousin needed money to give her baby a proper Catholic burial. He hopped aboard one of Manila's chromed public utility vehicles and pulled a secondhand .45 pistol he'd tucked under his waistband of his basketball shorts. In the shivering seconds that followed, Narciso scooped up about $300 worth of loot, almost double what he paid for the gun and equivalent to an average monthly salary in the Philippines. It was so easy that he did it again and again, even though there were no more nieces to bury. He used the cash to support his family, and sometimes he spent it on drugs. Narciso says nobody in the neighborhood filed charges for the string of robberies he committed, but police eventually pinned him for possession of an unlicensed firearm. Over the course of 8 months in prison, Narciso tells Time he's got clean. Let's see here. I skipped something. By the time he got out in November, about 20 of his friends and neighbors had been shot dead by police or vigilantes amid Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte's brutal drug war. Since the president took office on July 1st, more than 6,200 suspected drug users and sellers have been killed. They've been sale-made. I think it's Korean or Vietnamese for deprived of existence. It's tough. They chose that path, the 22-year-old says. I chose a different path this time. I want to strive now. Okay. That's the news from the Philippines. How about that? Representative John Lewis is the son of sharecroppers. Oh. As a child, he wanted to be a preacher. He practiced by delivering fiery sermons to the family's chickens. Well, that's about as good as giving it to people. I might have helped the chickens. But history had no other plans for him, or had other plans for him. Lunch counter sit-ins, man. You know why? He was a little guy. He's trying to be a big man. You know, he's fat. He's short and fat now, but he was a skinny kid trying to make a name for himself. Freedom rides and the March on Washington and the Edmund Pettus Bridge, a seat in Congress representing most of Atlanta. Insanity, insanity. God, this guy's representing most of Atlanta. He's just a stepping fidget for all those big corporations in those big buildings in Atlanta. You think they'd let him really run things? Are you kidding? No sane person would accuse such a man of being all talk, 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 no action or results. But that is precisely what Donald Trump said of Lewis. It was not the first time the president-elect raised questions about his own sanity, and I doubt it will be the last. Oh, you're so cute. Punching bag Trump. As I've said before, Trump's compulsion to answer any perceived slight with both barrels blazing is a sign of dangerous insecurity and weakness, not strength. I don't think so. I think it's very manly to respond to insults and so forth with both barrels. I do, and I do myself. I don't fuck around. We are about to inaugurate a president with the social maturity of a first grader. Well, give a first grader a gun and he can kill you. There's another troubling aspect of this episode, however. Trump took a gratuitous slap at Lewis's majority black congressional district saying it was in horrible shape and falling apart. Well, of course, if it's mostly black, it's always falling apart. Because it's black. In a subsequent tweet, he said Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the U.S. And you know that's not going to happen because it's not possible. You little fat ape man. In fact, I've seen a lot of apes that were more handsome than you are. We've heard this sort of thing before from Trump. When he thinks of nigger Americans, Trump apparently pictures inner cities with a godforsaken hellholes of despair. Well, is he correct? Every place I go where there's black neighborhoods in a town is pretty shitty. He sees dystopian enclaves beset with record levels of crime. Yeah, ramshackle places that are falling apart in every sense. This vision is patently wrong, grievously insulting, and guaranteed to ensure that the new administration's support from black Americans remains minimal. 8%. Good. You're black racist? Be black racist. White people should do the same. Trump received just 8% of the black vote. He didn't need the black vote. If anything, he is driving some of the few supporters away. Oh, yeah. In August, Trump made his campaign pitch to an almost all-white audience in Akron, Ohio. Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible, all-white audience. The Democrats have failed completely in the inner cities for those hurting the most who have been failed and failed by their politicians year after year, failure after failure. Worst numbers after worst numbers, poverty, rejection, horrible education, no housing, no homes, no ownership, crimes at levels that nobody has seen. You can go to war zones in countries like we are fighting in, and it's safer than living in some of our inner cities that are run by Democrats. Well, what's wrong with that? What's not true about that, mister? And I ask you this. Crime, all of the problems to the African Americans who I employ, so many people, to the Hispanics, tremendous people. Come on, Trump. Cater to the people that put you in. What the hell do you have to lose? Give me a chance. I'll straighten it out. I'll treat your niggers much better than any of these other guys. Yeah, I will. I promise. Well, I'll bet you. Meet me in Chicago in about 4 years at the time of the next election. And we'll look it over and see if there's been any change at all. Down there in South Chicago where all the black KKK hang out. Yeah, meet me down there in 4 years. See what changes have made. Can't change because the race makes the community. It's the race makes the community. They never want to admit that because that would be admitting racial inferiority. No, my God, that can't be because we know we're all equal. Well, boys and girls, that's about it. That's about all I can take of this Negro stuff and this politician stuff and this inauguration stuff. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. And we'll have some more fun and look at all the crap that's going on. And maybe we can figure out how to get all the guns away from the people so the Negroes will be safe.
It's being a black man in America is like being the fucking boogeyman. And frankly, I'm tired of being the goddamn boogeyman. I am. I get on the elevator. White people hop off, get all nervous. I walk down the fucking street, even inside an expensive hotel. White women grab their purse automatically, all funny. Make me feel guilty. I didn't snatch the shit. This is the shit we gotta go through. Don't have $100 bill. It's against the law for a nigga to have $100 bill. Everybody puts up to a light, smells it, wipes their ass, calling an expert. The fuck is this? white folks are printing money. Niggas ain't printing because we's printing. George Washington had a big old flat nigger nose and never has hair. We fuck it up. Get tired of that shit. I went on the interview. I got my car parked. I'm late, so I'm running. White woman got her car parked near mine. She's running too. Sees me and turns and runs the other way. I couldn't make up no shit. Like, I chased that bitch for 10 blocks. It's the truth. Shit, gotta be the goddamn boogeyman. It's cold shit. But we'll get over it. And it's still what though? I'm just up here bullshit because it really ain't black and white. It really is not. Because you know why? White folks really love niggas. Don't let them fool you. Because you got to go back in the history because we used to, it's ownership. Because when white folks own niggas, we were in their house. You don't let nobody in your house you hate. We was in the guy, and the mammy, the babies are sucking on their tits, cooking their fucking food. Wasn't central heat. You know we was warming up the bed. Get your big black ass up in that bed. Warm it up. I'm going to sleep in 5 minutes. Just chilling here. I'll get in there, nigga, and warm it up. They loved us. As soon as we got free, that shit changed, didn't it? Niggas live on this block. I don't think I want to live here. Now we can't even be on the same block. Trust me. If slavery came in tomorrow, niggas be, white folks be all open arms. Oh, welcome home, niggas. Missed you. Sing one of those songs, please. Here, Hammer, catch that chicken. Oh, that's too cold, ain't it?